Good morning. We'll be reading from 2 Corinthians today in the 12th chapter, verses 7 through 10. And if you're reading from your pew Bibles, that's on page 970. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am made strong." This is the word of God.
Don't hate me for this, but I have this terrible habit of throwing pennies away. Just tossing those bad boys in the trash. I don't know why, I can't stand them. What even is a penny these days, right? What even is a penny worth? Maybe you see value in a penny, and if I have offended you this morning, I'm really sorry, but I see absolutely no value in a handful of pennies. That's now, but remember when we were kids? It was a completely different game. If there was a penny on the side of a busy road, we would risk our lives for that penny, right? Our text this morning is all about something that every one of us is going to wrestle with in this life. It's weakness. Do you think of the weaknesses in your life like I think of pennies in mine? Something that's worthless, good for nothing, this liability, some sort of maybe deficiency in you, something shameful, something that you need to hide or cover up. Is the only good thing that God can do in the weakness in you is take it from you. This morning we're going to look at a man, Paul, who wrestled with weakness, begged God to take it away. God said no, and it ended up being the best thing for him. Trinity, when weakness invades your world, I'm talking about the limitations that you feel, the pain and frustration. I'm talking about the list that Paul gives us there in verse 10. I'm talking about the insults and hardships, persecutions and calamities. Anything that makes you feel profoundly powerless, when, not if, when weakness comes, what will you do? What I want to do this morning is take the text that Melody just read for us and run it through the grid of 3 don'ts. Here are 3 don'ts that Paul wants to impress on us as we wrestle with weakness in this life. Don't despise your weakness. Don't miss God's ultimate purpose in your weakness. Don't waste it. Don't waste your weakness. Real quick, some context. Paul, he's writing to the church in Corinth. This is a church that he planted. It's a church that he loves. He's writing to them because so-called super apostles, he calls them chapter 11, super apostles have made their way into Corinth and were trying to discredit Paul. And in doing so, they were distorting the gospel. Paul cares more about the gospel than his own reputation. So at the beginning of chapter 12, he's wrestling with sharing an experience that God gave him that would, he thinks, showcase God's power. But to keep Paul from becoming super prideful like these so-called super apostles, God gives Paul a thorn in the flesh. We're going to pick up at verse 7. Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. The first don't that Paul wants to impress on us, don't despise your weakness. Let me be clear, if you have ever wanted God to wipe out weakness in your life, every trace of it, if you are begging him right now to pull that thorn out of your flesh, that does not make you weird, it makes you human. It is okay to want relief, to pray for relief. Pain is not a good thing in and of itself, and God does not delight in your suffering. It is human to want the pain to go away. It is human to want the sickness to end. It is human to want the insults and the injuries to stop. You, friends, are human. And that is a good thing, and your Heavenly Father will not despise you for it. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a part of Paul that wants nothing more to do with weakness. We see that there at the end of verse 8. He says, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. In other words, God, can't you just take this from me? You have the power to wipe out this weakness in me, to make the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the calamities stop. You can make it better. Won't you make it better? I know some of you are here right now. You are pleading with God to do something, anything, to make the pain and the frustration, the things that you feel are holding you back, go away. You beg and you beg and you beg some more. Listen, asking God to take the weakness away, to remove the thorn, does not make you weird, it makes you human. Paul wasn't despised by God for this, and neither will you. So in your weakness, plead with God. Plead with him and keep pleading with your Father who loves you. Don't stop crying out to him. But here's the question. What if after all of our praying and pleading for God to take that hard thing out of our lives, he decides that it stays? What if after all of this praying and pleading, God says, no, I'm going to keep that there for a little while longer? Brothers and sisters, what then will you say? Will you despise the thorn and the one who placed it there? Or will you see it as God's mercy in your life? You see, Paul doesn't just come to God with a handful of thorns, begging him to take them away. Paul sees God's sovereign hand has placed and is even keeping those thorns in his flesh for his eternal good. Paul sees that God's sovereign hand has placed and is keeping that thorn in his flesh for his eternal good. Somehow, by God's grace, Paul sees that thorn as a mercy in his life. Look again at verse 7. Notice how Paul begins and ends this verse. He says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Why did God place that thorn in Paul? Why is he keeping it there? Paul says to keep him from becoming conceited. Why does God pierce us with thorns? To keep us from becoming conceited. Conceited. Conceit, that's just another way of saying pride. And there's probably no better definition that I've come across of pride than C.S. Lewis's. He says, pride is the ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling concentration upon self. Pride is that ruthless, sleepless, unsmiling concentration upon self. He goes on, he says, pride is spiritual cancer. It eats up the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. Trinity, plain and simple, you need Jesus, and pride says you don't. You can't do anything apart from Jesus. Pride says you can. Could it be that God has placed that thorn in you to, in a way, puncture and deflate your pride, to keep you humble and needy and wholly dependent on Him? I'm going to tell you a story of how God has used in my life a painful thorn to puncture my pride and keep me close to Jesus. December 27, 2020, it's a few years back now. It's a day that our family will never forget because, as many of you know, you've walked with us through this. It was the day that Kate's sister, Beth, tragically died of an overdose. The horror of what had happened on that day, it rocked us, left us feeling numb, not just for a day or two, but for weeks and even months. We still remember what it was like when deep sorrow took up residence in our hearts and in our home. There was a time in that season of grief when I felt I just could not get out from underneath the sadness. Most days, I felt distracted, scattered, not able to do the things that I really wanted to do. And I remember one of those days, reached out to a good friend of mine. He was a pastor here, Brandon Rogers. Some of you know him. And our conversation just deeply impacted me. I haven't looked at weakness the same way. After sharing all that was going on with him, I'll never forget the question that he asked. He said, John, are you okay with being the guy that slows everybody down? You okay with being the guy that holds everybody up, that needs everybody else around you? And my honest answer in that time of grief was no. In my pride, I was holding on to something I needed to let go of. God was doing a good work in me. Slowly, I began to see that God's sovereign hand is at work in my weakness. I began to see those thorns as God's merciful way of working humility in me and keeping me very close to Jesus. I wrestled hard with that weakness, even begged God to take it away. And God said, no, I'm going to keep it there for just a while longer. And it ended up bearing good fruit in me. Sometimes God will give you thorns to keep you utterly dependent on Him. Sometimes God is going to give you thorns to keep you dependent on Him and close to Jesus. God is not wasting your pain. He is using all of it to keep you dependent on Him and close to Jesus. God is not wasting your cancer. He's using it to keep you dependent on Him and close to Jesus. He's not wasting the insults and ridicule. He is using them to keep you close to Jesus. He's not wasting your frustration, your disappointment. He is using them to keep you very close to Jesus. God never wastes a thorn. God never wastes a thorn. And as long as you have it, God fully intends to use it and do a very good thing in you. So when you're tempted to despise your weakness, remember, God is doing something very, very good in you, even if you cannot see that thing. And we just wrapped up Romans. Remember, Paul says in Romans 8, verse 28, God is working some things? No, he is working all things, even the thorns, together for the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Do you believe this promise? God is doing something good in you through all of that weakness. He's also doing something very good through you. So second this morning, church, don't miss God's ultimate purpose for your weakness. More than lovingly molding you into the loveliness of Jesus, which would be enough, God is up to something greater and more glorious in your weakness. And if you can grab hold of what Paul's about to say, Trinity Community Church will never look the same. Look at this, verse 9. Dial in to what Jesus is saying here. He says, but he, Jesus, said to me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Notice these are not Paul's words about Christ. These are Christ's words about himself. This is Jesus's conviction about himself, which later becomes Paul's conviction about Christ too. Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. What does that mean? It means that God does not just save you by his grace. He sustains you by it too. He does not just save you by his grace. He sustains you by it too. And God will never give you something that his grace can't sustain you through. No matter what we face, God's grace will sustain us through it. Why? Jesus says, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Man, we twist this up all the time. We see weakness in someone and we think God couldn't possibly be at work there. We see strength and we think, look at all the great things that God is up to over there. The Christians in Corinth were no different than us. They looked at Paul's weakness and thought, there is no way God is still with this guy, working through him. We are so tempted to believe this. Weakness is evidence that God is not at work. Weakness is evidence that God isn't in it. That job loss, you're going to be tempted to think that God could not possibly be in that. That diagnosis, you are going to be tempted to believe that God is not in that. Your trauma, your pain, you're going to be tempted to think that God is not at work in it. We think that the perfect platform for God to show up and do some incredible things is in and through our strength. And so what do we praise strength. We reward strength. We want to be seen as strong and capable. We want to be seen as associating with those who are strong and capable. God's power, our strength, are match made in heaven. God's power plus our weakness, not so much. Like trying to hold two magnets together, the positive and positive, negative, negative. We think that these two things should only ever repel each other. But when we grab hold of these precious words that Jesus is saying and actually embrace what God is doing in our weakness, something happens. We get smaller and smaller, and the beauty and the glory of Jesus becomes bigger and bigger to us and everyone around us. We get smaller and smaller, and the beauty and the glory of Jesus gets bigger and bigger. When we get smaller, here's what happens. We begin to see more visibly a very strong Redeemer. A very strong Redeemer who put on weakness, knows our weakness, died in weakness, but was raised in victory and strength for us, and in some mysterious way is making his power perfect through our weakness. When God gives us the gift of weakness, don't despise it. Don't miss the ultimate purpose that God has of making much of Jesus through your weakness. Last this morning, don't waste your weakness. There's a strange pleasure that Paul wants you to experience in your weakness. I'm not talking about loving weakness for weakness's sake. Remember, God doesn't delight in your pain and suffering. I'm talking about what Paul calls being content with weakness. He says it there in verse 10. Here's what he says. He says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong." The word content is so rich, so full of meaning. We could literally translate it as well-pleased. It's the same word that the Father uses to express delight in Jesus when he says, "This is my Son with whom I am well-pleased." It's the same word. Can you imagine if this were the way we talked about weakness? I am well pleased with the ridicule that comes with being a Christian, because God is using that ridicule to showcase the beauty of Jesus and his grace. I am well pleased with cancer because God is using my cancer to showcase the beauty of Jesus and his grace. I'm well pleased in times of deep, deep pain and sorrow because God is using every bit of my pain, every bit of my sorrow to showcase the beauty of Jesus and his grace. I am well pleased when those hard losses come because God is using every loss to showcase the beauty of Jesus and his grace. We could go on and on. If these words are on our lips, it means that God is doing a transforming work in us. These words are on our lips. It means that God is at work in us. Then, and only then, will we say with Paul, "When I am weak, then I am strong." Your weakness is far more valuable in God's sovereign hand than pennies are in mine. Trinity, do not despise your weakness. God is doing a very good thing in you. Don't miss how God is magnifying the beauty of Jesus and his power and his grace through your very real weakness. And don't waste a second of your weakness. Let us be well pleased with our weakness, trusting with all of our might in the grace that saves us, has brought us thus far, and will surely bring us home. Let's pray. Father, we ourselves would not choose weakness. And yet, you give us affliction, weakness, sorrow, pain, whatever it might be, that you might display, that you might demonstrate your incredible power and grace. And so we say, thank you. Thank you for choosing to display your power through our very real weaknesses. Father, we pray that you would take these weaknesses away, but if you do not, I pray that we would have joy in you in the midst of these hardships.